We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
Happy Friday, everybody. And thanks for listening to Atlanta's number one sports station, his number one sports show. We're going to find out what the Braves are going to do, but not immediately. We're going to talk about the potential options on the table for the Braves as they're set to start the second half of the season tonight against the Rangers. And what we're talking about is, what are the moves that this team's going to make to improve? Right now, Mike, we're 2.5 games up after the Mets beat the Phillies last night. They got back to work 4-1, and we kind of gave you the lineup. Grant's going to join us here in about 15 minutes from now to talk about the latest with the Braves, but it feels like there's a lot of stuff going on with our team right now, man.
Right. I mean, you're talking about the Bravos?
I mean,
it's just this team has got a lot of decisions to make, and based on what we're going to talk with Grant McCauley about, some of the specifics that the manager, Walt Weiss, talked about earlier, and one of those questions was, hey, sounds like, and Mark Bowman asked the question, sure sounds like to Mark that Strider's not going to pitch this year, and what about Schwellenbach? And it sounds like you're maybe going to see him if you're lucky. And Walt Weiss didn't exactly say no about that. So again, we'll talk to Grant about it, but you and I were debating how heavy should they invest in pitching. A lot of reports say they might be looking at an offensive piece. We're going with a very uncompelling 8-9, along with Austin Riley tonight, but it is going to be very interesting to see how Owen Murphy can step up. He's already had one appearance. This kid is high expectations, had his Tommy John a couple years ago, but we'll ask Grant about him. But this is where you're at. You're out with Chris Sale. You feel great. You can have an untested young man in Owen Murphy, and then you got Grant Holmes, and you know what the ceiling is with Grant. That's why I don't think you have enough pitching.
All right, we're going to see. I said to you yesterday, they may not be looking at this the way we are, and the reports out there from Ken Rosenthal is they're looking at potentially adding a bat or so. Look, that's been our issue. We're not hitting.
Right.
But the guys that are not hitting are also being paid a lot of money or they've been injured. So hopefully Acuna can come back, Kim can come back, and Riley can start hitting. And guys, that answers your questions. You got 17 days to figure this out.
And that's where it's at. Now, we've seen other teams. Brewers were the first team to look at some pitching. They made a move with the Astros. But, I mean, no one's going to just sit around on their hands while you're figuring out if you got enough power, you know, in your lineup or you got enough pitching to get you through to the finish line in October. But we'll talk to Grant about what the skipper had to say today and just what are we going to see this weekend against the Rangers.
All right. Seahawks rookies reported today. Can you believe that? Two training camp. Vets get a couple more days. 49ers rookies are going to report tomorrow. Our rookies next week this time will be at Flowery Branch. And then camp starts the following week. This is now, guys, literally right here at our front door. And, Mike, you brought up something pretty interesting earlier here on the show in regards to looking at different aspects of our defense, different, you know, position groups. We've been doing this a lot because there are some position groups that I have questions about. There are some players that I'm going, is he going to be able to step up and do what we need him to do? But I don't like where we're ranked in this. I just don't.
Yeah, there's a couple of guys out there that are big analytics guys, and there was a number that came out today, and it was Warren Sharp. And, it's not PFF, but he's a guy who's well-respected, and he's got over 400,000 followers. A lot of folks in the NFL follow this guy and see what he's talking about. He ranked the best front sevens to the worst front sevens. So whether you're in a 3-4 or a 4-3, where do you stack up? Well, some of the usual suspects you'd expect are up front, like the Broncos do a great job. You know, you've seen what the Eagles have got. We came in 31st out of 32 teams, and we had the second most sacks last year. So he doesn't believe in, and maybe some of this is the James Pierce Jr. waiting for the shoe to drop from the NFL. We are of the opinion he's going to start the season.
I do. Yes, I do believe that. Will he be punished? Yes, at some point, but I don't know what that punishment is going to look like. And then there's a chance he might not be. We'll see. But to lead or to be second in the league in sacks, the one thing we didn't do a great job of, and we got to be better at it this year, is stopping the run. But I don't think that's where we should be ranked in this, because the teams where you rank the Falcons are teams that are really bad.
Yeah, man, those are teams that are going through fire sale mode. Now, look, the Bears made the playoffs, but they gave up a lot of points. That's where they had a lot of shootouts. Caleb Williams had to pull some fireworks out of his tookus. But they've got the Cardinals, actually the Saints at 28, Cardinals, Bears, Falcons, and then the Dolphins. So that's a team that, you know, they've kind of gutted the defense, gutted the team with the exception of A-Chain at running back. But, yeah, you look at the top end of this, it's all the usual suspects. The teams with the best defense, D'Amico Ryans and his Texans, Eagles, Rams, Broncos, Seahawks. Seahawks just won the Super Bowl with that front seven. We don't have Caden Ellis. Maybe the James Pierce thing. You brought up a great point with the run stopping. Is this defensive tackles, the guys in the middle, going to keep those offensive linemen off those linebackers that don't include Caden Ellis?
Yeah, but let me say this about Caden Ellis, and I think, Mike, you might have been on vacation. Caden Ellis was a very good player on an average defense. He wasn't Ray Lewis. And so with all of that said, he made a lot of plays, no debating it. And look, we like the guy as a person. I think he was a very good player, and he's versatile. But I got to tell you, everything that he can do, Diablo can do. Everything that he can do, Divine Diablo can do. And as a matter of fact, we went on a five-game losing streak with Caden Ellis on the field and Divine Diablo not. So that's where I'm at with the replacing Caden Ellis. My question is, who's going to be next to Divine Diablo and picking up that
slack? Well, I mean, we're going to see if Jalen Walker or Christian Harris, who we picked up from the Texans, who's had high hopes coming out of college but has been a little underwhelming of late. That's why we got him for a one-year deal. I'm just telling you what the guy who runs the defense said. Ulbrich said back in February, replacing Caden Ellis, quote, would take more than one human being.
Two people.
So that's, and I don't know if Warren Sharp's hip to that, but it's a team that did have the second most sacks, but as Carl said, unfortunately, teams can still gash us with a run game.
Yeah, it's going to be, that whole
figuring. I hope Jalen Walker wins the job. I hope it's, with all due respect to Christian Harris, I hope Jalen Walker, but they're going to still use him like a Swiss Army knife all over the place.
I don't think he is in contention for that specific position. I could be wrong, but I think, Mike, they want to, to your point, use him in various ways and have him on the field doing a variety of things. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, guys. We are all over Falcons coverage when it comes to training camp and, of course, throughout the course of the season as well, talking about training camps getting underway, and ours will start again technically next week on the Rookies Report, but then the veterans, I don't think, report until that Tuesday. And then, Mike, right, that first day of camp is like the 29th for us.
We spend a lot of time on Penix and Tua, but that to me is the most compelling, you know, argument. Because Jalen Walker, you know, you can walk him up to the line. You know, he's big enough, even though people thought he was undersized pre-draft, he's still 6'2", and you saw him do everything at Georgia. Or he can play the classic linebacker position. So as you said, you got Divine
Diablo
moving over to what Caden Ellis did, and Jalen Walker. That's a hell of a lot of athleticism at linebacker.
No, it is.
Combine that with what you got at safety? That's impressive.
Well,
if he can do the job.
The thing is, with Walker and Pierce and Divine, like, the thing is, what are you up front? That's where the question marks are. Right. That's why I think if you're going to take a jump, and we don't need to be the number one defense, but you got to be top 10. If you're talking about making a real run, that's what we're talking about, guys. You got to be top 12 in the league. You can't be, you know, 20, 24, 25.
The only team that wasn't, because their offense was so dynamic, was the Bears.
Yeah.
And they also got a lot of turnovers, too. They were, you know,
turned people over. But that's what we did our Super Bowl year. We turned people over. That's right. It's
and
the
Saints
equalizer.
Did it the year they won it. So, not a great elite defense, but they turned guys over.
I think that's a big part of it. All right, speaking of how many days do we have? 13 days until camp starts?
All right, you're going to trigger somebody with
I'm
this?
I'm not doing a damn thing.
Come on! It's Dukes and Bell's Falcons Camp Countdown. 13 days until the battle of QB starts. But is it really a battle? I'm starting to believe. Never mind.
Wow. See, this is why people think you're Mr. Voice. This is why people say you're feeding this information. You're feeding the scripts to Mr. Voice.
That sounded an awful, like, the thing that you say all the time.
Well, people repeat things I say on this show all the time. That's a catchy phrase. You want to say it with me? T-U-A.
I'm not prepared to say that. No one's a bigger Michael Penix Jr. fan on the show than this guy. And I'm ready.
That is a complete lie.
That's total. No, the best thing for the franchise is for this guy to win, grab the brass ring, take over the quarterback job. We save money because he's on his rookie deal. Yes, please, whoever that idiot is in the background, this is what we need.
Nah. I've had people stop me in the streets literally and go, T-U. He listens to the show. That is not me, guys. By the way.
Come on. It's Dukes and Bell's Falcons Camp Countdown. 13 days until the battle of QB starts.
Yeah.
But is it really a battle? I'm starting to believe.
This is right. You could have said that yourself. You've said that yourself.
And that's what proves he listens to the program. It's a big show, Mike. We get big numbers.
The guys, the joyless, humorless guys who follow us on YouTube, and I don't know what these guys do for a living, but thanks for watching. But these guys, they don't get the joke, Carl.
Look, is he wrong?
Come on! It's Dukes and Bell's Falcons Camp Countdown.
Is he wrong?
13 days until the battle of QB starts. But is it really a battle? I'm starting to believe. Never mind.
You've been saying this for months.
They got guys who think, literally, we're going to wrap up the show up there at Flowery Branch, and Michael Penix Jr. is going to run us over in the parking lot with his car over this. Look, he's a big boy. He's heard this before. He's got to go win the job, man.
It's a competition.
That's it. And by the way,
is it really, though?
let me just say this for the second time this week, because again, we like to think that 99.9% of our audience, which makes us number one in afternoon drive, get the joke. But there's always those guys, Carl, they're just, they don't really seem to get the joke. Whatever we say in the next 12 days
after today.
It has no bearing. This job will either be won or lost by Michael Penix Jr. being healthy and ready to go.
On the field.
That's it. We're having some fun. We're pulling your chain.
Well, I'm not.
Well, again,
he makes a valid just point. Admit,
come on. It's Dukes and Bells Falcons Camp Countdown. 13 days until the battle of QB starts. But is it really a battle?
Yes,
I'm starting to believe. never mind.
All right, you know what? He's going to have the high ground. But again, if Penix in these next... look, Michael, if you're listening, please, for the love of God, be sleeping in a hyperbaric chamber. Be doing all these things you need to do.
He's got the lasers, Mike. Yeah, he's got the heat, that stuff.
The stimulation on the left knee and everything else. And be ready to rock and roll. So we have a real competition. Because nothing's going to be worse than we start the first 2 weeks of camp when they're in pads. And everything's going, and we're saying,
don't be looking at me, by the way.
Michael Penix Jr. is not a full participant. But again, only time will tell. Only time will tell.
Don't look at me.
Mr. Voice is being clairvoyant. He's making it sound like it's a done deal, a fait accompli, as they say in Latin.
Can he be trusted?
It's a fair question. 404-726-0929.
Why don't you just put it on a shirt? T-U-A. Make some money off this for us.
Once he wins the job. All right, we're coming back. When we do, we got to talk to Grant McCauley, guys, about the Braves. Lots of news to report as they get back to it, including where's Acuna, where's Kim, and how soon is it before they get back up to the bigs?
I'm Mike, and I'm for Mike. Thank you.
Whatever.